NPR.
Darian, I have some bad news about the computers taking over our jobs.
Like our jobs? Indicator hosts? I mean, how would that be possible?
I know. We have such a unique skill set. For instance, every 6 weeks or so, I pore through an obscure government report known as the Beige Book. Maybe you've heard of it. I look for great stories. It takes me a couple of hours. But this month, I noticed that a computer was doing the whole thing a lot faster.
And better, it looks like. You've sent me this graph that breaks down the Beige Book by keywords and charts that over the last 3 years.
I know. It says here, mentions of wages in the Beige Book have dropped over the last year, and concerns about credit lending are still very high. It's amazing.
I mean, a computer can consume data and analyze it more efficiently, but would it ever think to take all that economic data, turn it into a fake awards show, and then persist in the joke for years and years and years?
Thank you so much, Darian. All right, this show is for the carbon-based life forms out there. It's the Beige Awards, our 8 times a year salute to the art and science of telling stories about the economy. I'm Robert Smith.
And I'm Darian Woods. This is not the most efficient way to bring you news about economic conditions, but it is the most fun. Coming up, we'll have all the human emotions. Surprise, frustration, the eternal desire to buy a boat.
AI can't buy a boat.
After the break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Arctic Wolf. Their researchers have released the Arctic Wolf Lab's 2024 threat report. Why will 2024 be a volatile year for cybersecurity? Learn more and get your copy now at arcticwolf.com/NPR.
Support for NPR comes from ADP. Say you own a business, then suddenly a solar flare adds an extra hour to each day. Would you add an extra shift, shift office hours, install those weird sleeping pod things? You can try to figure it out on your own, or just get ADP. From HR to payroll, ADP designs forward-thinking solutions to help your business take on the next anything, even unexplainable cosmic events that end up granting humanity an extra hour a day. ADP, always designing for people.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. For a limited time, new customer plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. Go to mintmobile.com/indicator. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
We always like to remind our listeners how this award show works. There are 12 regional banks in the Federal Reserve System. Each one carefully studies their local economy and brings back little stories about what they see, publishes them in the Beige Book. We read it so you don't have to, and then we give awards to the best ones.
Let's start with second place. We name a runner-up in case the winner is unable to carry out the duties of the Beige Award. And the runner-up goes to the Atlanta Fed.
You know, they often win the award for their great stories and killer quotes, but this time, the Atlanta Fed wrote a line that almost seems like poetry to me. Quote, oversupplies of cheese kept demand for milk low.
That's it?
That's it. Stuck in my head. Oversupplies of cheese kept demand for milk low. Oversupplies of cheese kept demand for milk low. I picture full warehouses of cheddar and even fuller cow udders. It's kind of a cliffhanger. Something's got to give.
A cheese meltdown.
Exactly. All right, stay tuned while we give out our first place award.
And the July Beige for best anecdote in a government report goes to the St. Louis Fed.
Accepting the award for the St. Louis Fed is Nathan Jefferson.
We spoke to him last Friday.
Congratulations, Nathan.
Thank you, Robert. This means everything to me.
Everything?
Oh, it's incredible. It's an incredible moment.
Well, we should jump into this because you won the award for 2 different sections. One was very serious and the other one was a little bit more fun.
Let's do serious first, of course. Quote, many contacts reported an inability to fully pass on increased costs to consumers, which has compressed margins.
Margins are profit margins. So what this seems to be saying is that after a couple of years of inflation, people are resisting price increases and companies will have to suck it up and take fewer profits.
So big picture, that means these price increases are going to be smaller. You're not seeing the same kind of price increases that we've seen over the last couple of years. And big picture, that is something that should result in slower price growth around the country.
You know, we were particularly interested in this section, Nathan, because there's been a lot of, how do I put this, discussion about profit margins and inflation. And a few economists have even argued that there's something called greedflation. That's the popular term for it, greedflation, where companies take advantage of inflation to grab a little bit more money for themselves.
But in a recent Indicator episode, we spoke to somebody who found no correlation between inflation and profit margins over the last few years.
So your entry, Nathan, is provocative, but you don't seem to really be weighing in on whether there's greedflation or not.
I mean, I'd say it's a little more complex than just whether the firm is greedy or not. I think ability to set prices has definitely been a part of the story over the last couple of years. But now we're seeing that ability kind of start to wane a little bit.
All right, on to the fun part. So one of the reasons we love the Beige Book is that it also has these tiny glimpses into the regional economies around the country. And the other reason St. Louis won this time was about recreation in Arkansas. Robert?
All right, here's the quote. Love this one. An Arkansas contact reported that sales of high-end boats are steady and low-end boats are down slightly, but sales for middle-market boats have collapsed. Middle market boats apparently are ones that run $60,000 to $80,000 a boat.
I guess a rising tide has not lifted all boats.
Should I be concerned about the middle class because they're not buying as many boats? Or should I feel glad for the middle class because boats are expensive and a pain in the ass?
Well, I mean, if buying a boat is your biggest issue right now, I mean, you're probably in good shape. These people have jobs. These people still have, I'd say, a good share of disposable income.
If the worst news we have in the Beige Book is middle market boats, then that's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. That was our thinking, too.
And you pointed out that while the boating industry is, I don't know, sinking, people in Arkansas are buying bikes. You say that the cycling industry there is generating more than $150 million in economic impact from new biking jobs and tourism.
So especially Little Rock, Northwest Arkansas as well. So they've really kind of leaned into offering these kind of amenities based on their natural beauty. And I would say that biking, the story that we've heard from our contacts, biking's been kind of one of the big ones.
Now, I'm always a little skeptical of these economic impact numbers. I mean, does the $150 million from biking include, I don't know, a lunch break while biking? Does it include a new jacket or is it jobs building trails? These numbers kind of mean a lot of things to different people.
It's funny, Darian, because I was also skeptical, but for another reason. I grew up in Utah, so a large mountain biking destination, and I had never really heard anyone talking about the Arkansas biking boom. So we started to phone bike shops in Arkansas.
My name is Sam Williamson. I'm the owner of the Community Bicyclist Bike Shop in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Sam confirmed it. He says that Arkansas has been voted near the top of the polls for outdoor recreation and biking.
It's huge. It's bigger all the time. It's always been just inherently a great place for mountain biking because we have the Ouachita Mountains, we have the Ozark Mountains, and just lots of natural areas that are just great for mountain bike trails to be built.
And also, Arkansas has something special that adds to the mountain biking experience. Wild pigs. Feral hogs. Sam says he's seen three of them.
Well, as long as you don't get up to 30 to 50 of them, then I think you're okay. But
no, that's terrifying. That's terrifying.
Now, you'd think it would be an amazing place to have a biking store, but Sam concedes that the last few years have been a mixed blessing. They got a huge uptick in orders during the pandemic, but then in 2021, they had trouble getting the bikes because of supply chain issues. And now, inventories are full again.
It's just kind of up and down. We're trying just to get it back to where it's level and predictable again. I mean, that's what everybody wants. So yeah, it's been a wild ride.
It seems like if you sell bikes, a wild ride is exactly what you want.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Meanwhile, in downtown St. Louis, the winner of the Beigie, Nathan Jefferson, is sitting in his office at his desk, writing about boats, writing about biking, and what, dreaming of your next vacation?
Oh, I mean, a boat might be a little bit out of my price range right now, but a bike is right in my wheelhouse.
Wheelhouse?
Two of them. I don't know. I mean, you can... I'll figure it out.
Nathan, congratulations on your win. It was really a top-notch entry.
Thank you so, so much.
This episode was produced by Brittany Cronin with engineering by Maggie Luthar. It was fact-checked by Sierra Juarez. Viet Lea is a senior producer and Kate Kincannon is our editor. The Indicator is a production of NPR.
Across America, history is often recorded on small markers. You've probably seen them on the sides of roads, in front of buildings, in the middle of nowhere. NPR's Laura Sullivan spent a year investigating thousands of markers and found a distorted version of America's history, but also curiosities, humor, and joy. Listen to the new episode of The Sunday Story on the Up First podcast from NPR.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.